chapter 1. To Luke chapter 1. Of course, we're in the first Sunday of Advent. We're this year, we've chosen to look at the songs that are found in Luke 1 and 2, the songs of Simeon, the song of Simeon, the song of Zechariah, today the song of Mary. And we'll be focusing on the songs as we move through Advent. And so for today's reading, we'll read from Luke chapter 1. We'll begin at verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. Now, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby in her womb leaped for joy. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud of their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." And that's as far as we'll read today. The song of Mary. The song of Mary. Imagine with me Mary for a moment. Mary is this young lady. She has no real appeal in any way. She's just a normal, everyday young lady who is living an everyday, normal life. She doesn't really... she doesn't hold status at all. She has a future in mind, a future to be married to a man named Joseph. She is betrothed to this man. She is looking forward to that. Sure, she is, but that's the extent of her life. She will, from there, go on to raise up a family. That's her hope. That's in her plan. But other than that, there's nothing really super substantial about Mary to speak of. Nor is there of Joseph. There's nothing really substantial about Joseph. He's just a normal, everyday guy. He's got a little bit of a business on the go. He's working every day. He's hoping, too, to raise a family. He's married. He's going to marry this young lady. And they're looking forward to that time where they can have their wedding and all of that normal stuff that happens in young people's lives. That's until the angel comes into play. The angel who in Luke chapter 1, when he spoke to Zechariah in verse 19, said, "I am Gabriel. And I stand in the presence of God." Whoa. Gabriel stands in the throne room of God Almighty. And he has been sent not only to Zechariah, but also to Mary. He has been given the privilege of giving the message to Mary, of going to her and meeting her in person and giving to her the good news that she will bear the Son of God. Mary, this normal, everyday, ordinary person, she loves God, sure. She's very devout, yes. She's been raised in the faith. She goes to the synagogue all the time. She's marrying a faithful man. But now she's greeted by an angel from who stands in the very presence of the Lord that she worships. Wow. Wow. And so how does this happen? And the angel also tells her, he says, so if you want support, if you want to know what's going on here, you can go and visit your cousin Elizabeth. You know that older cousin that you have? She's probably, Elizabeth at this point is probably over 60 years old. She is said to be barren, but now she's in her sixth month. So if you want to know what the Lord is doing, you go to see Elizabeth and she'll collaborate that for you. It'll all make sense once you get there. You know, Mary was in the room with the angel, and she said, let me get the words just right here. She said, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. And then the angel left her, says the text. Now, no doubt in my mind, and I hope for you in your mind as well, that when Mary's traveling from Nazareth to Jerusalem to meet up with Elizabeth, that's a few days of traveling, she's probably having some second thoughts. Did I really see what I saw? Did the angel really visit me, or was this my imagination? And if the angel really did visit me, what did I just sign up for? I said yes to the angel. I said, may your word to me be fulfilled. I said yes to God, but what does that mean for me? Because as the reality of life sets in, this wasn't a very convenient time for Mary to accept such an invitation, is it? Think of what she put at risk. She put her reputation at risk. She put Joseph's reputation at risk. She put both of their families at risk because they're pretty tight-knit. She put a lot of things at risk. It would have been much better if God just said after they were married, why don't you accept this now? If God called Mary to this task after they were married, that would have been much better. It would have saved a lot of uncomfortableness. But of course, God doesn't work like that. Similarly for Elizabeth, who is now in her sixth month, how would it look for an old lady, older lady, I'll just say that, for an older lady to get pregnant? It's not really a convenient time, is it? Somebody who's 60, 65 years old to get pregnant. That's not really convenient. It's dangerous and it's frankly undoable. She's past that point. And yet she is blessed with this. And now Mary meets up with Elizabeth. And at the greeting of the sound of Mary's voice, Elizabeth jumps to her feet. She greets Mary, and John, who is inside Mary, who is already filled with the Holy Spirit, leaps inside the womb. This beautiful scene just causes Elizabeth to sing out for joy, and that's what the text says today. She shouts out in a loud voice, she exclaims it. She's saying, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear." But the very next line says a lot for Mary. Listen. "But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" This is Elizabeth talking to her cousin, her younger cousin, much younger cousin. Already, Elizabeth is raising Mary up. "Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Elizabeth believes right away. The Holy Spirit is allowing for her to see that she is indeed carrying the Christ child. And she says, "Why am I so favored? How is it that you can favor me?" Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill her promises to her. You see, already Elizabeth is raising Mary up. "You are no longer my cousin. You are the mother of my Lord." This is an out and out exclamation of God's grace in Mary's life. This is the proof of the truth of what the angel said. This is the support that the angel was talking about. And this causes Mary to sing. Actually, she said it, but she's echoing Hannah. Hannah, who gave birth to Samuel the priest. "My soul glorifies the Lord," she says. "Magnifies the Lord." We magnify. My soul is the lens through which God is elevated and magnified. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Why does Mary sing this? Because God has elevated her. God has, working through his servants, his willing servants. God keeps his promises, not only to Mary, but also to the nation of Israel. Mary knows that she is carrying the promised one, the Messiah, the Son of God, Jesus. She knows. The angel said it. And now that she's with Elizabeth, this nails it down for her. She is thrilled, and she jumps to joy in song. Now, this isn't some sort of reflective, quiet type of song. No, Elizabeth and Mary together are raising the roof of the house. They are making noise about this thing. They are joyful as they look around and celebrate this thing that God has done through his humble servants, through the ones who say yes to him. That is why Mary is so enthralled and lifts her song up to the Lord. God is working through the normal, everyday, normal people of their life, of his normal people. He's working through the normal to do the extraordinary. Of course, this is a signature God move, isn't it? God does a lot of this throughout Scripture. Works through the average, ordinary people. People with all sorts of faults. Like Moses. Like David. Like Gideon. All normal folks. God's worked amazing things through them. But they have to be willing servants. They have to be humble. God has a special place in his heart for the humble. And it's through the humble people, through humility, that God's work does its best work. Why? Because the people want nothing. If you are humble, you don't want any kind of recognition for yourself. You are only pointing towards God. And that's exactly what Mary is doing today, pointing towards God. Yes, she says in here, she says, from now on, generations will call me blessed. Everybody knows the name. Everybody knows who Mary is. If you say Mary, the mother of Jesus, you get an idea of who Mary is. Mary's very famous. But make no mistake about it. Mary qualifies how she is blessed. She says, I am blessed for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Again, a sense of that humility. A sense where God is working through those who are humble. This is good news for you and I. This is real good news for you and I, isn't it? Because if God works through those who are humble, then God really should have no problem working with us. Right? I guess the next question would be, is how humble are we? Are we always pointing towards God? Are we always saying, may this be for God's glory that we do anything? Are we saying, praise God, when something great happens in our lives? I'll let you answer that question. Because when it comes down to it, and God asks us to do something, likely it's going to be in a very inconvenient time for us, in an inconvenient place for us. It will not be the best scenario in our lives. So, God, I will do what you say, but can't you just wait until after I'm retired, and then I'll go and do whatever you want me to do? Or, God, I'll do this, but wait till the kids are growing up and out of the house first. Or, God, I'll do this, but I need to reach this certain level of financial comfortableness first. Financial comfort before I commit to that. You see, God doesn't call us in times that are convenient for us, normally. He usually calls us in times where we make no mistake if we just say yes to him and see his blessings come through, that we will attribute it all back to God. Normally, we would say, no, we just don't got the time, or we just don't have the resources right now. We can't do this. But that's not what God says. God says, trust in me, and I will make it work. That's what he says to Mary. You are going to have a child. And Mary agrees with that fully. Regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the situation, no buyer's remorse there. It's all to point back to the Lord. Her life is given over to God. And so we have the opportunity in this season of Advent to also re-gift our lives over to God. You've heard of re-gifts before, right? You get something from somebody and you really don't like it a whole lot, and so you re-gift it. I'm not saying that you re-gift the life that you give because you really don't like it a lot to God, but you re-gift something. You give it back over. The Christian life is constantly giving yourself over to God. You don't say, well, I gave myself to God 25 years ago, and now I don't need to do that anymore because God knows how I feel. No, the Christian life is a constant giving your life over to God, always, because the pressure from your fallen, sinful human nature wants you to keep on taking your life back. And you have to counter that with a conscious effort to keep on giving to God. This Advent season, we get to keep on giving back to God, to give Him the glory, to give Him the praise, to give Him what He stands in need of. Our grace, our praise, our gift, our sacrifice of praise. May we do so as we work our way through this season, remembering who we are and whose we are. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, as we heard Mary's song, as we read through those words, and we are awestruck by how humble her and Elizabeth both were, we pray, Lord, that we would find that kind of humility in our own lives so that we could direct all of our attention and all of our praise and all of everything that we got towards you, Lord. All of our lives, take it. It is yours. May we say that with growing enthusiasm as we work towards Christmas Day. In Jesus we pray. Amen.